There are times when I wonder what you see in me.
Yes.
Lord, I know that I'm not more than I could hope to be. But when you reach your hand down low to mend and heal, I was moved by the love that you must feel.
Yes,
I'm a miracle Lord. I'm a miracle Lord. I'm a miracle Lord because of you. For the rest of my days, I will give you my praise. I'm a miracle Lord because of you. I was lost to the skills of men. I was bound to die. But because of your plan for me, you heard my cry. Oh, you came in response to prayer, and you rest the pain. So I won't live the rest of my life in vain. I'm a miracle Lord. I'm a miracle Lord. I'm a miracle Lord because of you. For the rest of my days, I will give you my praise. I'm a miracle Lord because of you.
We thank God for the testimony after Minister Simon finished testimonial service. I was trying to figure out what was I supposed to do. I was like, why did he stop? He had five more minutes, and we could have had Minister Gibbs come on up and do the altar call. So since he didn't take 5 more minutes, can I get 5 minutes?
Amen!
Amen. It's indeed, it's a blessing to be a miracle. And every last one of us this afternoon, we are miracles. Every last one of us are miracles. Because if our adversary, the devil, had his way, the times that we were almost in a fatal accident, the time when they shot the person down the street, the time when the house down the street caught on fire, the time when our children were playing in the neighbor's child's outfit, that could have been every last one of us. So we are a miracle. You know what makes a miracle a miracle? A miracle is that man could not do it. A miracle is a mighty, superior intervention from God. I can't perform a miracle. The highest preacher, whoever he may be, cannot. Daryl Hill. Amen. Amen. I tell the story of Daryl all the time. When I used to sleep drive all the way down to Pittsfield, driving. Remember when we used to go work those ovens? After we worked all day and we worked at 1 or 2 in the morning, I tell the story all the time. And, I was working, we were so tired, I was working on an oven. I kept telling Daryl, I was like, Daryl, something wrong with my body. You remember that, Daryl? I touched the wire and my whole body went to shut it. So I was like, wow, you know, this, I'm telling you, I'm a miracle. So I'm touching the oven and we're working. I was like, oh, God, something wrong with me, Daryl. My whole body felt like I was having a seizure. My whole body shaking, and the man and the installing electrician said, well, Pastor, or Reverend, he said, I already turned off all the breakers so you don't have nothing to worry about. So after about 15 minutes of this shaking, I said, Daryl, something's wrong. Remember that, Daryl? I said, man, something's wrong. I went and looked at the box the man had left on the 220 wire. Hallelujah. That's why I know I'm a miracle. Amen. Every time I touched the oven, 220 volts was going through my body. So I can tell you I am a miracle, because I've seen people that have touched a 110 outlet and the current went through their heart and they died instantly. So I'm a miracle. Amen. I tell the story all the time. Now, Daryl, I don't know how many believe me, but you are my witness, right? Amen. God is a miracle. And truly, just thank God. We're going to read just a couple of verses in the book of Luke. We're going to read verses 7, 10, 24, and 32 of Luke chapter 15, verses 7, 10, 24, and 32. Amen. It is a lot. Verses 1 through 8 deals with a lost sheep. I believe verses 8 through 11 deals with a lost coin. And then the rest of the chapter deals with a lost son. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul tells the church of Ephesus that he has quickened us who were dead and we were once lost. I don't care how much you went to church and how much you prayed and how holy you were, you did not save yourself. Amen. The Bible says salvation is only accomplished by the grace of God, not of works. It's not anything that we have done. You pray, great. You're faithful to God, yes. You pay your tithes and offering, you fast, yes. But salvation is a gift from God. For it is by grace, hallelujah, that you are saved. Amen. As Minister Sally, I don't know, why'd you stop? I know the Lord had to keep leaving you. What'd you sit down for? So you sit down, so Minister Anthony says, since he left the Spirit, let me go up there and sing it in. Amen. Amen. But Deacon George was backslidden for 21 years. When somebody walks away from God 21 years, either 21 or 23 years?
21.
21. So we say 22 and we've been in the middle. No, but he was away from God for 21 years. Normally, when we look at someone that has distanced themselves from God that long, we say they are lost and damned forever. But the miracle working power of God. That's why one songwriter said, he looked beyond all of my faults. Amen. Anybody got some faults? Anybody got a lot of stuff messed up in their lives? Well, God looked beyond all the best in your life. Amen. And he saved us in spite of. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you're not good for anything. You're never. Thank you. Jesus saving my soul. Yes, I love my wife. It was great that she married me. Amen. She didn't know what she was doing, but she was great that she married me. She learned through the years. Don't laugh, Irene. But she learned. So that was great, but the best thing. I said the best thing that ever happened to me was when Jesus took me down in a watery grave. He washed away my sin. He deposited the Holy Ghost in my soul. And now I got running in my teeth. I got jumping in my step. And I got a song in my heart. I got a song. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. The angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed. Anybody been redeemed? Lord, now no longer do I look back the way I used to be, because my soul is excited for where I'm headed. All right, let's get into the word, right? 5 minutes. Amen. 5 minutes in Jesus. Verse 7 read, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which needs no repentance. Next verse. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. Lord, thank you. Over one sinner that repented. Amen. The next verse. But the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. When God does something for us, God does not give us something that's marginal. God does not give us anything that's average. God doesn't give us anything that somebody else has. But when God does something for us, he gives us the best. He said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his. God first puts on a robe. Then he puts on the ring, symbolic of kingship or royalty. Hallelujah. When God does something for us, amen, he said, I'm looking at them and they're going to be part of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're going to be my child. So God decorates us in nothing more than royalty. Hallelujah. I got to keep reading, you know, but it's just good. I said it's good. Hallelujah. It's just good to reflect over how God looks at us. Now, we look at each other and we got this, we got that, we got all the others, but God only sees the best. I said when God looks at us, he only sees the best. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever, and all that I have is thine. Amen. Well, is that 32? 32. It was meet that we should make. You're not supposed to come to church and be broken and downcast and sad. Hallelujah. You once were lost, but now you are. How are you going to come to church and be sad when God has saved your soul? Hallelujah. When the Lord has touched you. Amen. When everybody else has written you off and given up and sent you never about anything, God saved your soul. He said it would mean that we should make merry and be not what? Not sad. Well, we in Christ. We in church. So we ought to be happy and we ought to be glad. For this thy brother dead in trespasses and sin. Hallelujah. This thy brother, Deacon George, was dead. Amen. If anybody hears a backslider say, this my child sit down. Go ahead and have a seat. In Jesus' name, amen. If we were to have a message this afternoon, hallelujah. Every last one of us once was lost. But now we are. Earlier, Jesus gives some illustrations and examples. He talks about 100 sheep. He said, which of you, if you have 100 sheep, and if how many go astray?
One,
you broke up the fold. The herd is not complete. The fold is not complete because one went astray. And it says that the good shepherd. That's why I'm so glad that I know Jesus is my shepherd. Hallelujah. And because the Lord is the good shepherd. Hallelujah. The scripture said, when the sheep went astray, he didn't get mad. You know, sometimes parents, we get a little upset. When our children go astray, or even in the church, those that are in leadership get upset when people go astray. Amen. He didn't say he talked about that sheep. He didn't say he went around to all the other sheep that put a bad word in their head about the sheep. But he said he went and saw after that one lost sheep. Why? Because he was the good shepherd. Now, there was a whole lot of shepherds in Israel. Amen. But they didn't all go after the lost. Amen. With a lot of them, when the sheep was lost, they just sit in their house and resided and just got comfortable doing their regular business. But the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Said, I'm not going to rest until I find my sheep that was lost. So that was 100. And then we go down into the next scenario. It talks about a woman having 10 coins. And she lost. She didn't have to lose two or three. She lost one. So we see that Jesus is dealing in derivatives of 10, 110. The number 10 is very symbolic in the Jewish religion. When God gave Moses the pattern for the temple, they had to have in it 10 curtains, 10 pillars. Amen. When God wanted to deliver Israel out of Egypt, he plagued the house of Pharaoh 10 times. Amen. When God had pronounced his judgment on Moab, he said, neither shall an Israelite, a Moabite, enter into the company until 10 generations. So the number 10 is very symbolic in the church. It deals with an order of God, order of completion. Amen. So we sometimes we get a little messed up and we think that we have arrived and we're everything, but there's still one that is missing. Amen. And just to break down a little further, let's go over the woman. You try and figure out, this woman had 10 coins and she only lost. So what's so bad about losing the coin? But that dealt with a greater picture than just the coin. That actually dealt with a covenant. Because what would happen, it dealt with the marriage covenant, because what would happen is a man would give a woman 10 coins, which was a sign of the engagement or a sign that they were to be married. Amen. And what she would do is the coin would have hooks on it, so she would take the 10 coins and put them as a headband, and it was a symbol to everyone that she was married and belonged to a bridegroom. Amen. So what Jesus was saying is that when you lose the one coin, amen. See, Israel wasn't like we were. You know, today you can put the headband on and you can wear all kinds of different hairstyles and you can cover up the coins. But
symbolic of a person that was in disgrace and that had dishonored their bridegroom. Amen. So you try to figure out, well, why did this woman search so diligently? Because she was in a marriage covenant. What the Lord is saying, there's some people in the church that have lost their covenant with God. Amen. So the woman didn't get mad, but what did she do? The first thing she did was she put some light on the situation. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. So the woman put some light on the situation so that she could find the one lost coin to take away her dishonor, to take away her disgrace. It would be, if she went out of the house with only 9 coins, it was symbolic that she had failed her husband. Amen. So what God does is he uses the number 10 and he uses woman to show some of us may have failed. Amen. Some of us may have come up short. Some of us may have been like the prodigal son and we ask, God, give me what I deserve and let me do my own thing. Hallelujah. But what happened with this woman and the prodigal son is it's time for us in the church to come to ourselves. Amen. It's time to grow up spiritually and realize that if I don't have the Lord, if I don't have the Savior, amen, if he doesn't walk with me and talk with me and tell me that I'm his own, I could be in trouble. So the woman had to find the coin so that she could take away the dishonor, the disgrace, and show that she indeed honored her covenant with the bridegroom. Saints, this afternoon, we need to honor our covenant with the bridegroom. Amen. That one coin has been lost. You need to search diligently until you find it. Amen. That one thing. And the coin was not lost outside of the house. The coin was lost where? In church. You can be in church and still be lost because you've broken the covenant with the bridegroom. Amen. Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. Who is the bride? We are. Amen. I heard John say in the book of Revelation, the bride said, come. Amen. And everyone in here said, come. I said, everyone in here said, come. Hallelujah. The covenant with our God. Don't you allow anyone or anything. You know what the devil, he tries to be an affront in the face of God. We read about it in Job. They said Satan went before the God to accuse Job with everybody else on a daily basis. Every day, the devil is just adding some stuff to our account. God, you saw how they messed up. How can you save them? Lord, you saw all the mistakes they made. How can you forgive them? Because he knows that he has no opportunity for redemption. He's the son of perdition, which means he's forever lost. Still trying to get over my wife's stuff. I don't have it, but I'm trying to get over to stop allowing the one things, that one thing that the devil keeps presenting before God. In our lives, every last one of us can say, you know, I can deal with everything but one thing. I could have handled everything else. It took one thing to bring me over the brink or bring me to where I am. It took how many things? It's time to shed some light on the one thing. Hallelujah. It's not a time to be lost, but it's time to be. I said it's not time to be lost, but it's time to be found. The prodigal son grew up. Some of us need to let go so they can grow up. Let go so they can grow up. Not let go in the sense of just throwing them to the wolves, but let go so they can grow up. Grow up doesn't mean in a physical way, but they grow up in a spiritual way. Well, how did the prodigal son grow up? The scripture says he came to himself. And he realized after he'd done everything he was big enough and man enough to do, he realized that indeed he was in a deplorable situation and he needed God. So he said, now I've already wasted my inheritance, so in the eyes of my father, I'm nothing more than a servant. He's already given me everything that's an inheritance, so I'm nothing more than a servant. Now, I imagine if there was some of us, we said, you know, I'm just a little too embarrassed. This is how the devil works in our mind. I'm too embarrassed to go back to my father. I'm embarrassed by what I did and I don't want to go back to church. The prodigal son got so bad that the very occupation that he despised and rejected was feeding pigs. He had to feed pigs and eat their food. It got bad. Amen. But God allowed our situations to get bad enough for us to do what? Come to ourselves. So the prodigal son said, how many of my father's hired servants have a roof over their head and food to eat, and look at me. I'm nothing more than a disgrace. So he said, even though I'm not worthy, I need to get back to my father. Hallelujah. This afternoon we may not feel worthy. We might feel dishonorable. We might feel disgraceful. We may feel like the bottom has fallen out. But it's time to get back to my father. Hallelujah. Church doors are open. Amen. Because when I get to church, I realize that in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And at his right hand, it's good to pray at home. It's good to pray with somebody. Hallelujah, but it's nothing like the presence of the Lord. And Jesus said, when you get all messed up and things aren't working, I just need two or three of you to get together in my... I just need two or three to get together in my... Some people say, I get discouraged because church used to be bigger. People go, all God needs is two or three. But we have a responsibility spiritually to look for the lost sheep, to seek out the lost coin. And when the prodigal son was on his way back to his father, hold on. As he was on his way back to his father, it was something the father let go, but not spiritually. He let his physical being go, but his spiritual being, he didn't let it go. But how do we know that? It said because when the prodigal son was a long ways off. Amen. He wasn't at home. He wasn't close. But every day, I imagine the father went out and said, now I know what I put in him. I know from a child I taught them to pray. I know for my child, I taught them to read their Bible. I know for my child, I taught them to fast. And Lord, I believe your word is in. If I train them up in the way that they should go, in the end, they won't depart. So I imagine every day after prayer, the father of the prodigal son would go out and look for his. He was looking for him. He didn't grow weary. He didn't grow faint-hearted. Amen. Because he refused to be weary and well-doing when it comes to the saving of souls. That's well-doing. He didn't grow weary. So every day, the father would go out looking for his son, because he had not given up on him spiritually. Whatever you do this afternoon, don't give up. We may have lost a natural battle, but don't you lose our spiritual battle. The father looked for his son every day till he came home. It's just like Jacob when Joseph was sold into slavery. Jacob thought that Joseph was dead, but he had a little hope. If you read the story, he talks about his son Joseph. This is 13, 14, and 15 years later, he had not yet given up. Why do we give up so fast on the one lost corn sheep of our child? 15 years later, Jacob wanted to see his son Joseph. So even just read the story, I'll paraphrase a little bit. When Joseph sent back and said, bring your youngest son, Jacob said, I can't send him. I've already been bereaved of my one son, but there was still a little hope down in Jacob. And Jacob said, I'm born for 15 years. He did not forget his one child. We live in a day and age where we're so soon to forget him. Throw him to the woods, you never read when God acts like that to any of us. Even Judah that betrayed him, messed up, sold him into bondage and crucifixion. But when the Lord saw him, he called him friend. Why don't we take on our father's characteristics? As a church, why aren't we taking on some of the characteristic traits of our Father? He's long-suffering. He's gentle. He's compassionate. He's forbearing. You know what forbearing means? Yeah, they messed up, but I love them anyway. And last but not least, our Heavenly Father is forgiving. No matter how bad we mess up, He's forgiven. Well, how do we know that? Because when Peter failed God, when he denied that he even knew the Lord, later on the Lord talks with Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. In the conclusion, he told him, he said, now when you are spiritually stronger, I need you to help your brethren. He said, when you're converted, I'm going short, I'm not breaking it down, so all you theologians don't correct me later, all right? Just trying to make it short for y'all. You know, you got to have those people in church to help keep you on in line. I got them. Amen. So I'm cutting some of the chase, but what he's saying with this, when you are strengthened, when you are stronger spiritually, I need you to help somebody else. If you are spiritually strong today, help somebody else. Now, all the other apostles said, well, you know, Peter's failed, and, you know, he's not in the number anymore, and he's outside of the fold of God. But our compassionate and forgiving Father, thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his compassion. Thank God for his bowels of mercy and his tender love. when he went to all the rest of the brethren that was in the house, he said, now when you come, bring Peter, the failure, the one that let me down, bring him also, as we stand. We need to stop being judged. The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth? And then it talks about God as being our judge. We mess up when we try to judge. God never gave us the responsibility to judge each other. God says, honor me by lifting one another up in prayer. We need to go back to the basics of the scripture. Not what somebody else has said and what's been propagated. We need to go back to God. Mr. Gibson, do an altar call. We need to go back to God. Lord, but what about the one lost sheep? What about the one lost corn that's the ministry? It's time to come home. It's time to come back to God. God, the scripture says, when he looks at us, he says, your sins and your iniquity. As the ministers come forward, today is about reckoning time with God. Yes, we're in church. Yes, we're saved. But are we in church and still one of the numbers that's lost? It's time to come home. It's time to come back to God. God, the scripture says, when he looks at us, he says, your sins and your iniquity, I will remember no more. The song said, come to Jesus. It's time for us to come back to God. God will rejoice if you repent of your sinful ways. Amen.